Because God has called us to a season of advance. I believe he's called us to a lifestyle of advancing. Not just a once in a while thing, but a continual moving forward in him and in his calling on our lives. And one of the main things he's telling us for this season about advancing is that it's time to grow the family of God. Not just put people in seats in a church building, but actually bringing the lost and the lonely into the family of God. That's God's heart. His heart is for the lost and the lonely. So let's keep getting his heart for that. So as we're advancing, we've been turning to God's word for our directions, for our game plan. We need to be doing this in every area of our lives. Every area. Turning to God's word. And specifically, we've been going to the book of Joshua and been studying the life of Joshua and the life of the Israelites as they're moving from the wandering in the wilderness into the promised land and what that looks like. This week, I'm sure that everybody's ready to be at Jericho. And we're all like, let's get to Jericho. We're ready for some shock and awe. We're ready for the walls to come tumbling down. Let's take the land, right? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Hey, Jericho. But we're not at Jericho yet. We're not going to be there yet even this morning. Something must happen, you see, before we go to battle. There's yet one more thing that must occur before God's people go in to battle. Before God's people are ready to take the land. Before they're ready to face the enemy and go after it. Take the gloves off. The Lord calls his people to consecrate themselves before they're going to enter any kind of battle. The Lord calls his people to set themselves apart unto him before they face the enemy. The title of today's sermon is Set Apart for Advancement. Set Apart for Advancement. Here's how it all went down with the Israelites. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. God's word says this: As soon as all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan for the people of Israel until they'd crossed over. What happened with these kings? Their hearts melted, and there was no longer any spirit in them because of the people of Israel. That's cool. So basically, the kings in the promised land saw how God brought the Israelites across the Jordan River, and they were like, dude, we are in big trouble. They got filled with fear, and it looked like this is the perfect time to pounce. It's a perfect time to attack the enemy when they're full of fear. But the Israelites didn't do that. Joshua didn't command that. I'm sure that his generals were like, come on, Josh. I mean, Sir Leader Joshua, come on. It's time. Look, they're afraid. This is the perfect scenario for victory. Let's roll. But in God's economy, there are spiritual values, there are spiritual priorities, there are spiritual principles and spiritual strategies that are far more vital and fundamental to victory and to advancement. It says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare, for the people of God's warfare, and that's us now. I keep reminding us that we're in the Old Testament studying the Israelites, but we're the people of God now too. Why? Because of Christ Jesus. Because we've been brought into his family through Christ Jesus. And so as we look at how God deals with his family, leads his family, his people, that's us now. And God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. His ways don't change. Okay, and so God tells us, his people, that look, the weapons of your warfare are not of the flesh. Rather, your weapons have divine power to destroy strongholds. How many of you want some strongholds to be destroyed in your life? How many of you are ready for some things to just be flat out flattened, removed. Well, then, there's a way for that to happen. There's a way for those things to be crushed, and it's God's way, not our way. It's using His weapons, His strategies, not our own, and definitely not the way of the world. So there are some spiritual things that must happen before we move in the physical. Let me say that again. There are some spiritual things that must happen before we move in the physical. There are some spiritual things that must take place in our lives before we're going to see things in the natural change. Let's take a look at some of those spiritual preparations that the Israelites went through before going into battle. And let's kind of take a look and talk about what that means to us today. Back to Joshua 5. Let's continue. Verse 2. We're going to go all the way through verse 9. Verse 2. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives. Those are sharp knives. Make really sharp knives. And circumcise the sons of Israel a second time. So Joshua made sharp knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Gibeath Haraloth. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. I love it when God just very clearly says, so this is why it happened. Okay, here we go. All the males of the people, you see, that came out of Egypt, all the men of war had died in the wilderness on the way after they left and came out of Egypt. Though all the people who came out had been circumcised, yet all the people who were born on the way, those who were born in the wilderness, after they'd come out of Egypt, they hadn't been circumcised. Verse 6. For the people of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. And the Lord swore to them that he would not let them see the land that the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So it was their children whom he raised up in their place that Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised because they'd not been circumcised on the way. Verse 8. When the circumcising of the whole nation was finished, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach. Today I have rolled away the shame of Egypt from you. And so the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. So before advancing, before just running into battle and taking on the enemy, God called his people to use sharp knives upon their flesh. And what these sharp knives represent for us today are the sharp knives of self-examination. That practice of intently searching our lives. You know, in 2 Corinthians 13, it talks about how we need to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. Examine our lives, how we think, what we do, how we're living, what's going on. We're called to examine ourselves, to take a sharp knife of self-examination and look at our lives and see what needs to be cut away. What we're seeing here in this passage in Joshua 5 is that before a believer is really ready to engage in spiritual combat, in advancing the kingdom of God and in taking on the things of the enemy and bringing righteousness, bringing God's kingdom into our community, that a believer needs to use this knife of self-examination. And what is that knife today? It's the word of the Lord. That double-edged sword is able to cut and pierce, separate. We're called to use that knife of self-examination, God's word on our life, on our hearts, allowing the old junk to be cut away, to be separated, to be removed, so that we're in a position now to advance into the amazing things of God. I was telling Velvet this week that I love God's Word, and I love studying it in a way where it's not just, you know, throw a dart at it. Every once in a while, God calls me to do that. Just open it up, and He has a nugget in there, and I'm like, whoa, that was great, exactly what I needed. But I'm telling you, on a daily diet type of a scenario, just going through God's Word verse by verse, precept upon precept, because when we do that, we're going to get the full gospel, the full Word of God, rather than what we're just looking for to meet what we think our need is that day. And so I love it when we do that, because look at where we've gone so far in our study of Joshua. We've gone from, oh, yes, let's remember the goodness of God. We just talked about that. Building memorials about how God rescues us. And remembering that God goes before us. He's always with us, and He'll never leave us. Those amazing words of faith and reminders that, man, God is always there. And then we're going to get to next week, taking down the walls of Jericho and the power of God and the victory and how His strategies work, and we can depend on God for the victory. But in the middle of those, what do we have? We have more of God's full Word and truth. And that is that we have some self-examination to do, some sanctification that needs to take place. Some coming into agreement with God. This is interesting. We want what God has for us. We read about what God has for us. We love where He's taking us. But sometimes we don't want to follow Him. We don't want to follow Him into righteousness, into cutting off all of that other stuff. But we want where He's going, but we don't want to really follow Him to get there. And we think we're going to just, I guess, end up there without following Him there. Anyway. Way off my notes, but that was for somebody out there. I think that was for Carlos. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. I do fear, though, that many Christians today, especially in our consumer-based society, where we all want it our way and we want it right now, and let's just be real, we all struggle with that to some degree. We do. I do. We all do. And I fear that we can very quickly lose or discard or throw away this need and this call in God's Word to consecrate ourselves, to set ourselves apart, to be actively involved and aware of our need to cut that off. And I believe that's some of the reason why we find ourselves in places of defeat, in places of struggle, in places of depression and just feeling, ugh. It's because there is a struggle. And when we don't come into agreement with God's plan and His way, we're going to just feel, and we're going to have less than. Those are just the realities of life. We can create theology that says, it doesn't matter. We said a prayer and God, He is now obligated to bless me, no matter what I do, what I think, and how I live. And that's just hogwash. It's not right. It's not biblical. And so God has this word for us because He loves us and He wants us to walk in His ways. He wants us to experience His blessing, His joy, and His peace. And so He gives us a message about the importance of setting ourselves apart, of taking that sharp knife of self-examination and cutting off the junk. That stuff that ultimately just frustrates us and hinders us. 2 Chronicles 16:9 reminds us that God is looking to and fro throughout the whole earth, which is awesome to think. He's looking all around. I mean, the Holy Spirit is just hovering still, looking. And He is looking to bless people, to show Himself strong to people who are set apart for Him. who are consecrated to Him. That's good news. What that means is that as we understand God's ways and as we come into agreement with His ways, that these are promises. As we go under the knife of self-examination, as the Israelites came into agreement with God's call of circumcision, of setting themselves apart, what was the outcome? Victory. They saw the strength of God manifest among them as they walked into the promised land and enjoyed the fruit of the land. They came into agreement. Now, what would have happened if the people of God would have said, we want the promised land, we want Jericho and everything beyond that, and we deserve it because we're your people, but we're not going to come into agreement with consecrating ourselves, with setting ourselves apart. I think it would have gone a little different. In fact, I know it would have. Because we see time and time again when God's people reject God's ways and it does not go well for them. So the practice of circumcision. Hey, I want to let y'all know this too. As you heard my testimony earlier today, I'm right here. I'm preaching to the choir and I'm preaching to me and we're all in this together, all right? I'm not saying I'm perfect in this area and using that knife of self-examination as often as I should in my life, but I'm telling you what, by God's grace, more and more, I want it. I want it. I want to be set apart. I don't want things to hinder me, to hold me back. I don't want my flesh to control my life because I know where that takes me. Ugh. All right, let's move on. So the practice of circumcision in the Old Testament here was designed by God to set His people apart from the rest of the nations. These are my people. They're consecrated to me. And there's evidence of it. It's real. There's evidence of it. It was a sign of separation. It also represented death to the flesh, no longer being their own gods, no longer in charge of their own lives, but God is number one now. And so they're a circumcised people, a consecrated, set apart people. Now, that was Old Testament, but now we have a new covenant in Christ Jesus. And so when we look to Romans 2, in Romans 2, it talks about how we're called to a different kind of circumcision. No longer a circumcision of the flesh, but a circumcision of the heart. It's a new kind of circumcision, a new kind of setting apart and consecrating ourselves before the Lord. That's why we're talking about the knife of self-examination. That knife, that God's word that we take, that double-edged sword that we take, and we allow it to separate the things of the world from the things of God, so that those things that are separated, that are not of God, can be discarded. And we can walk away from that in newness of life. In the book of Colossians, Paul points out what this new kind of circumcision looks like. Let's take a look. In Colossians 3, this is what happens. He says to the people of God, put to death, in other words, cut off or circumcise. Circumcise, therefore, what is earthly in you. And then he lists some big ones here. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once, past tense, you too once walked in these ways when you were living in them. And so we look at that and we say, okay, God, we get it. Those are some big, bad ones, and we understand that we need to get those out of our lives and we shouldn't be involved in those things. And we understand that it's not just bad behavior, but it's actually sin against you. And so we do need to cut those off and move on from those. But Paul goes into some other ones here too, as he continues in Colossians 3, verse 8. But now you must put them all away. And he lists a few more. He talks about anger and wrath and malice and slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. So this is all kind of what this looks like. to live a life of consecration, of being set apart to God, of living a circumcised life, is that we examine ourselves, we see what wicked things may be in us, and the help by the help of the Holy Spirit to do that, and then we come into agreement with God, and we lean on the powerful grace of God and allow those things to begin to be cut off of our lives, and we walk in newness of life with Him. So when we read God's Word, we see two truths regarding these ugly things, these sins. Number one, we know that this stuff must be removed from our lives. It never says in here that it's an option. You know, if you have any of these things, hey, it'd be nice, but don't worry about it, really. In the end, no, we don't. He says, you know, get rid of these things. Get rid of them. Remove them. Put them off. Take them off. But not only must they be removed, here's the good news, the rest of the story. Not only must they be removed, but they can be removed from our lives. You see, that's the amazing thing about God. You go to these other religions, they're going to tell you how to live and all their religious rules and do's and don'ts and all of this stuff. You go to any religion, they're going to tell you that. Even atheists, and that's a religion, by the way, they have their own set of rules. They'll say they don't. Oh, we're free. Well, oh, yeah, right. Okay, so not only are we called to live this way, but then God gives us everything we need, as it says, as Peter writes, everything we need for life and godliness has been given to us. So everything that you need to live this kind of circumcised, set-apart life, everything you need has been given to you to cut those things off. You don't have to rely on your own strength to do it, because you know in your own strength you can't, because before Christ Jesus, you couldn't. You were bound by sin. You were never going to be free. But you're in Christ Jesus now. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, if you've surrendered your life to Him, you have all you need to live a consecrated life. That's beautiful. That's powerful. That's the gospel. Too often we think of the gospel as a sweet by and by. Oh, there's a day I'm just going to, everything's going to be made perfect and it's going to be great and I'm going to go to heaven. And that's true. But the gospel starts today. The truth of freedom starts today. The new creation starts today. And it continues tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And we get to continue. We have the privilege of walking with God and seeing the old pass away and the new glory of His kingdom come on us. That's the gospel. And circumcision of the heart, consecrating ourselves unto God, is part of that process. And so to ignore the process of self-examination, of consecration, is to really ignore or at least stifle God's plan to show Himself powerful and to create a new life in you. You hear what I'm saying? Okay. It's good news. This is powerfully good news. King David understood this. King David was a warrior king. King David knew how to battle. He knew how to take down the enemy. But look at what else King David knew how to do. He knew how to consecrate himself. He understood the importance of setting himself apart and going before the Lord and making sure that he had a clear conscience before God and a right relationship before God before he went out into the world to do the things that God had called him to do. Saul, before him, didn't understand all that. And Saul just decided he was going to do things his own way, and that was to his demise. Not follow God's ways. King David, woo, different man after God's own heart, but a warrior. He understood the importance of consecration and how it went together. In Psalm 139, he says to God, he says, "Oh God, see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me into the way of everlasting." That's putting himself under the knife of self-examination, of saying, "God, show me, put a spotlight on anything that's wrong. And let's get it out. Let's remove it, God. Show me those things that are even things I can't see that can take me out, that can slow me down. Put a spotlight on that, God, and let's get it out of my life." He says in Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." This is what's all. He says, create in me a clean heart. So he's going to God knowing that he can't make his own heart clean in and of himself. He needs God to do that. So he's crying out to God, oh God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Make me new. Cleanse me. Purify me. Set me apart. Consecrate me. I'm yours. I love you. And I understand the importance of that. And then when that's done, he gets up and he goes out and he takes some enemies down. Look, if we're going to be men and women after God's heart, if we're going to be that church that is moving in God's power and truly bringing his kingdom, because the world needs that right now, the world needs a church that is walking in the power of God, in the truth of God, in the love of God, and that's bringing the very presence of God and his kingdom into this world. Because this world's hurting. It's dying. It needs God. And if we're going to be those people who bring God into this brokenness, then we need to be a consecrated people that are set apart from him. Otherwise, we're just bringing our own junk and sprinkling it with some, you know, some Christianese and saying, here it is. And you know what? The world isn't buying that. And I understand why they wouldn't want to buy that. Like putting sugar on a... Anyway, I won't go there. Some of you know where I was going. I'll just let you imagine it. We got to search our hearts. Allow God's word to convict us. And that's not a bad thing. And then allow the power of God to continue to transform us. Continue. And we can be successful at this because we have all we need in Christ Jesus. And you know what else? Paul wrote to Titus, and he says in Titus 2:11 through 13, he talks about how the grace of Jesus Christ actually teaches us, God's people, to consecrate ourselves. I'm paraphrasing it. Teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, live a godly, upright life in this present age. But what he's saying is that God's grace teaches us, gives us what we need to walk out a consecrated life. God's grace does that because God's grace is powerful. This is something else. I'm just going to go. I've got time, so I'm going to preach a little bit. We have God's love. We know what that is, right? If you don't, come talk to me afterwards. I want to talk to you about God's love. We have God's love. We have his forgiveness in Christ Jesus. He forgives us. We have mercy, God's mercy upon us. Where we don't get what we deserve. Instead, we get Jesus and we get salvation and we get new life. That's his mercy. And then we have his grace. God's grace is his power to transform us. God's grace is his transforming power made evident in our lives that justifies us and then sanctifies us, continues to work on us day in and day out, making us new creations. That's God's grace, and it teaches us and empowers us to be a consecrated people. It's not our own might, not by our own strength, but by God's grace and us coming into agreement with it, with his grace. It's a beautiful, beautiful way to live. It's God's way. It's his precepts. Let's continue. So the reason that Joshua was told to command the people to be circumcised at this time was because none of them born in the wilderness had been circumcised. So he said, okay, you need to get these guys consecrated and circumcised. Because they hadn't been circumcised, it says that the reproach or the shame of Egypt was still on them. The shame of the world, the shame of their past, was still on them. The chains, really, even of their past, were still locked around them. They weren't walking truly as free men and women at this time because that consecration hadn't happened yet. They were free, yeah. They had just crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land. Yeah, they were free, but they were still marked by and still living in the shame of slavery. as believers, those of us who come to Christ Jesus and we're justified, do you know that there's that next phase of continuing to walk with Him and come into agreement with Him? I've already mentioned sanctification. We hear it all the time, right? But it's so critical. That is the actual walking out of the consecrated life where the things of the world are falling off. And what happens when it falls off? The shame falls off of us. We don't have to be people who walk around feeling shameful for our past because we've been redeemed and we're new creations. We have the opportunity to walk in newness of life. We may be engaged in things right now in our lives where temptation, we're having struggles saying no to temptation. And we think, oh, it's always going to be this way. And I'm always going to be living in shame. And I'm never going to get there. That's a lie. If you're in Christ Jesus, you have His grace, and you can come before the Lord, allow Him to put the spotlight on that issue, that area of reproach, and take that knife and cut it away off of your life, walking forward now, not in shame, but in victory. That's the gospel. That's the good news of God's grace. They were free, but still marked and living in the shame of slavery. But look in verse 9. When they obeyed God's command and were circumcised, what did it say? The reproach of Egypt was rolled away. When they came into agreement with God's ways, with circumcision, with consecration, setting themselves apart, the shame, it was removed. They didn't remove the shame. They just came into agreement with setting themselves apart for God. God rolled away the shame. He did that work. How many of you think that's a beautiful thing? That's beautiful. Now look, let's be real, as we have been, that going through this process can sometimes be painful. It can sometimes be difficult. Think about the Israelite men in this story. Painful and difficult. And it can be that way in our lives. Even going through the circumcision of the heart and consecrating ourselves and setting ourselves apart for God. It can sometimes be painful and difficult to have things cut off and removed from our lives. Things that we've maybe been attached to for a long, long time. Things that we've allowed to become part of our identity. And now they're being removed from our lives. It can be difficult, but God is able to walk us through the whole process. Because look what happens. It's painful for a time, but then there's a time of healing, and then they celebrated, and then they went to battle. And notice that the entire process of circumcision and of healing was 4 days. It wasn't years. It didn't take years for them to go through this. It didn't take a lifetime for them to go through this and for those things to be removed and for freedom and a clear conscience to come to them. It took, in this scenario, 4 days. What that tells us is that when we humbly go before the Lord and allow Him to consecrate us and to remove those things, that He's going to be faithful, and He's going to do a very good job at it. And it's not going to take us the rest of our lives trying to heal from it. God is able to do it once and for all, cutting off the old, bringing in the new. The other thing I want to point out is that we're not supposed to live every day of our life, every moment of our life, in a place of, you know, self-introspection and looking back and in a place of every moment of every day, oh God, reveal, reveal, reveal. Although it should be something we do and we're always ready for the Holy Spirit to highlight it any time. But it's not an everyday thing because ultimately what we're supposed to do in life is we're supposed to advance. We're supposed to bring God's kingdom into this world. We're supposed to lay hands on the sick. and see them made well. We're supposed to cast out demons. We're supposed to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. We're supposed to be the people of God doing the works of God right here, right now. But there are those times when we need to go under that knife of self-examination and ask the Lord to reveal, is there any issue in my life? And if there is, God, open up my arms, my heart, my life, my mind to you. Bring your grace. Let's go. Let's cut it off. Verse 11. And the day after Passover, on that day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened bread, cakes, and parched grain. And the manna ceased the day after they ate of the produce of the land. There was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate of the produce of the land of Canaan that year. And it said in verse 10, what they did right before that was they celebrated Passover. So what happens after we allow ourselves to be consecrated? We go through consecration. It then moves to a time of celebration because we have a clear conscience before the Lord again. And so we're celebrating with God again. And then what happens when we live a consecrated life, we get to eat of the things of God. We get to partake of the things of God, no longer the cheap substitutes that the world has to offer, but we get the things that God has for us. That's a good way to live. As I conclude, I want to have us go into a time of self-examination. Right here, right now. You never know what you're going to get when you come to church, do you? Are you kidding me? Let's do it. Do we trust God that He's good, He's faithful, that He's gentle, that He's loving? Yes, He is. So we can go before Him right now. I'd just like everybody to begin to posture your hearts before the Lord. Just begin to set before Him. And I want to even invite you, if you feel comfortable, you can come up front here and get on your knees before the Lord. Or you can do it right there at your seats. Just to put ourselves in a position, even right now, to allow the Holy Spirit to shine a light on us and to let us know if there's anything in us that He wants to walk us through right now, that He wants to help us deal with right now in our lives. You know, when we go before the Lord this way, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But you know what there is? There's freedom for those who are in Christ Jesus. And when we go before Him, trusting Him and allowing Him to speak to us in this way, freedom will be the result. Freedom will be our portion. You just tell the Lord you're here with Him right now. I'm here with you, God. I love you and I trust you. I trust you, God. And I've made a decision already in my life to set myself apart for you. Because you're Lord and I'm not. You're my God. So like King David has done, and like the people of God have done in old, I just come and I say, shine your light of righteousness and goodness and love on me right now. God, show me those things that you desire to cut away. Those areas of my life, God, that you're ready to remove. And I trust you, Lord. Because I know there's goodness. There's the fruit of your kingdom on the other side. So I want you to do this, God. God, reveal if there's any wrong thing going on. Any faulty thinking. If I'm believing a lie. If there's anything, God, in my life that needs to be removed, God, just show me. I lay myself before you right now, God. I trust you. Pour out your grace on me. Show me strategies. Is there anything that I need to do? Is there a new way I need to think? Is there a new practice in my life I need to engage in? What do I need to let go of, God? Because I want more of you. I want to advance with you. I want to encourage us to be a people who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and allow ourselves that opportunity of self-examination. I want to be transparent with everyone right now, my church family. Just to use myself as an example. There's a couple areas in my life that God has been highlighting. One of the areas is my lust for food. But that's an area that there's something there that needs to be cut off. There's something, there's a root, there's something going on there that needs to be removed. And I'm going to God and I'm asking Him to highlight that. And I'm trusting Him to give me the grace and the strategies and all that I need to walk in newness in that area of my life. Maybe you have an area like that where there's some sort of something you just gravitate to that you know isn't God's best and God's design for your life. Ask God to highlight what it is that needs to be cut off and come into agreement with Him. There's another area in my life. I've been going through a season the last few years where I get fearful and anxious very easily. And that's not right. I know it. I read God's Word. Be anxious about nothing, but in all things. Anyway, a prayer petition, make your request known to God. And, oh, He's faithful, He's good, and I know God's goodness. And I know that I'm His son, and I'm in His hands, and I have nothing to fear and nothing to worry about. I understand all that. There's something there that triggers that in my life. What is that? Just being real, as I went before the Lord. So I'm going to God saying, God, take that sharp knife and take Your Word and Holy Spirit highlight and let's cut those things off. I want that off of my life, God. I want Your fullness. I want to walk in peace and joy, not in fear and anxiety in any area. This is what we're talking about when we talk about self-examination, when we talk about allowing God to consecrate us, to set us apart, and to do His work. It's very real. It's very practical. It hits home with every one of us. And how many of you believe that when I walk in that total freedom from fear and anxiety, that I'm going to be enjoying the fruit and the goodness of God much more than I am continuing where I am right now? Yes. Is it going to be painful? It might be. I don't know. I can tell you this. The food thing, it's painful. Saying no to things that I've embraced for so long that I need to let go of. But God's good. And His grace is enough. I want to encourage us as a church family. Let's trust God. And let's not sell ourselves short. But let's go after all that God has for us. Let's put ourselves before the Lord and be real with Him because He sees it all anyway. Just be real with God. And let Him do His perfect and beautiful work in your life. You'll never be disappointed with the hand of God moving in your life. You won't be. Praise God. Let's stand up. I want to invite the prayer ministers to come forward. Hey, if you just want your brothers and sisters to come around you right now and come into agreement, or if you're looking even for God to use one of your brothers and sisters here to possibly even highlight an area of your life, hey, it's open season right up here in the front. But any need that you have, the Lord says if we have a need, that we're to bring it to Him. Lay it before Him. You've got brothers and sisters here in the Lord that would love to come alongside of you right now and agree with you for God's goodness and His best in your life, for healing, for supernatural stuff to happen in your life, for advancement to occur. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you. May you walk in the fullness that God has for your life today and every day. May you enjoy the process of consecrating yourselves to the Lord and being sanctified. May you enjoy the fruit of the land that God has for you, because you are His children. He loves you. Be blessed.